You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Friday here in the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We've got Chris Carter, myself, hosting with Brian Batko, one of our esteemed Steelers beat writers. The Steelers don't play Sunday, so this is kind of a prelude just to the weekend and the things that they'll need to be working on to get ready for their Cleveland Browns matchup on Monday Night Football. All the preview and analysis here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports, from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined by Brian Batko, one of our esteemed Steelers beat writers here at the Post-Gazette. You can find all our content at post-gazette.com. You can find all of these podcasts, the North Shore Drive podcast, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get more of your Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes, as well as our daily content that comes out every day of the week here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, including our fan show where we got the Acrisure Fan Advantage that we're bringing in Irie Harris of Cleveland.com, who covers the Cleveland Browns. We'll get a preview perspective from someone who covers the Browns there. But Brian, you cover the Steelers, and Kenny Pickett, as always, is a big topic. The Steelers scored just 7 points in their opener. Did not look like the Steelers offense that we saw in training camp, in practices, and in preseason. And now everyone's wondering, is this still the Steelers offense from last year that's going to be averaging 18 points a game and not able to put things up? What is your perspective on if we're going to see a better slash different type of offense this week for the Steelers?
Yeah, Chris, my thoughts on this are, on one hand, this is largely a Kenny Pickett issue. You know, he didn't play well against San Francisco. Obviously, every team goes as their quarterback goes. If you don't get good quarterback play, it's going to be tough to score points unless you're running the ball 60 times in a rainstorm or something like that. But it's also a question of the structure around him and what this offense is going to try to be Monday night when the Browns come here. So I think on one hand, yes, it goes without saying Pickett needs to play better. I mean, the accuracy issues, those are scary, I think, because you can improve over time with things like, you know, reading the field, decision-making, going through your progressions, even pocket presence. I think a lot of the times, if you're a certain caliber of quarterback, as you get more comfortable and you get more reps, you're going to improve in that regard. But simply putting the ball where you want it to go, I mean, that's a little bit of a you either have it or you don't skill. So, I mean, obviously guys can improve accuracy and that hasn't been an issue for Pickett for the most part, but it sure flared up against the Niners and he's got to get that fixed. But the next part of my overall take here, Matt Canada, the core around Pickett, they need to find a way to, you know, be that explosive offense without necessarily having a Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Justin Herbert throwing the ball. What I mean by that is you can still be a really good offense if you have a second tier QB, if you make sure the ball's going to the right places. And I think a good example would be the Vikings with, you know, Kirk Cousins is solid, but nobody's putting him in that top flight group of QBs. And yet they can win some shootouts because he targets Justin Jefferson early and often. They find ways to get the ball to one of the best receivers in the league. He gets open a lot, of course. So, you know, I think George Pickens is going to have a big night on Monday. I really do. I think they're going to diversify how they use him with Deontay Johnson out. Can everybody else step up? I know we've discussed that on the show, you know, you with other people, Adam Bittner, Rafe DiPaolo. But I think it's also still just going to be about feeding Pickens, getting that full route tree going for him and marrying the big play potential for him, but also just being a guy who gets more touches and moves the chains for you.
So a couple different directions I want to go here. But before we go either direction, I want to remind you guys this show is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, the number one bar in all of Pittsburgh, right on the North Shore. You go to them at right across the street from PNC Park on Federal Street, over 20 televisions to get any game you want when you go there. You can also reserve a table with a TV specified to the game you want to watch with all your friends and family. Come on in and try one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local and 80 of those local beers being craft beers. You can get on tap to try out all the different options.
If you're not going to Morgantown, probably an awesome place.
Absolutely. If you're a Pitt fan who can't make the trip, that's a great place to go check out the game. But Brian, the first direction I want to go here with what you were talking about, George Pickens having a big night. That means he's probably going to get matched up with Denzel Ward and or Greg Newsome at some point.
Or Martin Emerson. Those two have had some, you know, they've had some like sort of minor petty social media beefs at times. You know, that'll be a fun matchup if those two long physical guys are against each other.
Absolutely. This is a cornerback group that Mike Tomlin and Kenny Pickett have praised this week for being a talented unit. They were able to limit the Bengals with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins to less than 100 yards passing. Now, I will say on top of that, Joe Burrow himself obviously looked limited with his calf injury. Also injured his hand early in that game when he got hit by Za'Darius Smith. But how do you see George Pickens matching up with these guys? You know, as much as as talented as those guys are, even last year, George Pickens had one of the catches of the year on the early game they had in the season, and then scored a touchdown in the last game of the season against them.
I was gonna say he cooked against the Browns last year. I mean, I know that week three game, he didn't do a ton outside of the big catch, but that was, you know, that spoke for itself what he was able to do in a difficult matchup on the road, no less, in a game where the Steelers struggled otherwise. So yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, the gift and the curse of Pickens is the beauty of it is you never doubt his ability to win one-on-one matchups because of how talented that he is. The curse of it is, how, you know, is he doing all the little things to give himself advantages? You know, is he going to be able to create enough separation? Even if he doesn't, you know, we always say about him, he's open even when he's covered. That can be a tricky thing because, you know, if you're a quarterback, you're also taught to, you know, look for the open receiver. And I think that can become somewhat of a dilemma for, you know, whether it was Mitch Trubisky then or Kenny Pickett now. Pickens wants the ball, but if you're like, hey, you know, I'm going to go to an option that is free and clear and is, you know, risk averse, then that's the balance. That's the line that you've got to walk as any QB. So, you know, I think Pickens can very much still succeed in this game. I think he's got to have double figure targets. And I actually, you know, one of my AccraSure keys to the game last week for the Niners in my scouting report that's online every weekend was feed Pickens, essentially get the ball to him and take advantage of one of the few places on the field where the Niners might let you do that. And well, we know by now the Steelers weren't able to do that. So I think it's got to be mostly the case with him. Again, I'm sure Jim Schwartz, he's been doing this a long time. He will key on him, especially with Deontay Johnson out. But look, teams key on guys like Justin Jefferson every week too. And he still finds a way to put up numbers and get it done. So the other thought I'll leave you with here offensively, Chris, is, you know, looking at the delineation of roles without Johnson, I don't see Allen Robinson doing a ton more. I think he can be, you know, clearly a little more helpful than he was as the number three, even if he's not, you know, if he's now the de facto number two. I think Calvin Austin is somebody who could, you know, sneakily step into a much bigger role and actually have some success if he can get behind that aggressive Brown secondary, because, you know, all those guys you mentioned, Ward, Emerson, Newsome, they're good, but they're also feisty and they want to jam you off the line and create problems for you with their press coverage. If Calvin Austin at his size can get off that jam right away, they could be in trouble.
I'll say this too. The way the Browns play with Jim Schwartz, their defensive coordinator now, the way he's always played, reminds me of Pitt's system on defense. They bring the house and they leave their corners on islands and they say, come at us. And listen,
it works if you have good corners. If you don't, you're in trouble.
And the Browns do. The Browns do have good corners.
At least through week one. At least we know how that position is. It's up and down.
Absolutely. That is one thing. The other thing I wanted to address with you real quick before we go to the break here, Matt Canada spoke Thursday. And one of the things that Ray Fittipaldo wrote about was, you know, he's like, he doesn't have any doubt the offense is going to get better. It feels like that's like the obvious thing that he has to say at this point. But is there any aspect of Matt Canada that you think that people haven't gotten a chance to see yet that might show this Steelers offense being better at some point this season.
I mean, he spoke, but did he really say anything?
He never does.
I know. We've discussed that on this show before. I mean, that's just his MO when he's in front of microphones and he's, you know, analyzing the game, which he's required to do every week. But we know that he's not going to really tip his hand one way or the other. He's not much for headline fodder either in terms of incendiary quotes. So, you know, I just think that it's obvious, but you need to work on establishing the run game more than you did in week one. And that was one thing that I think he kind of, you know, acknowledged a lot Thursday, was just when you do have 5-3 and outs, you can't do much of anything. You can't really get to the plan that you had in place, but you know, to which I would say your plan also opened with a pass, a jet sweep, another pass. So, I mean, that's just, it's difficult to really find your groove on the ground regardless. We'd be singing a different tune if those plays had worked a little better, I know, but just process versus results, I think he's got to tweak the mentality a little bit going into it. But the flip side of that is the Browns are probably gearing up for that too. And they feel like they're better equipped now in 2023 to stop the run with Dalvin Tomlinson in the middle than they were a year ago.
We'll get to more aspects of the Steelers here. We got a big question for Brian and myself here about some of the moves the Steelers have made this week with Cam Hayward going to injured reserve. We'll get to that on the other side of the break here of the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko. We're both of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the number one bar in all of Pittsburgh. You go to Mike's Beer Bar, it's on the North Shore. It's right across the street from PNC Park. If you're going to Monday Night Football, it's a great place to go to before the game and the action, because it's right across the street from PNC Park. You can turn on all of their 20 TVs. You can see all the different sports action that's going on at any point in time. It's a great place to book a table to watch your favorite college football game on Saturday, including if you're a Pitt fan or a West Virginia fan who's stuck in Pittsburgh and can't make it to Morgantown for the backyard brawl. All those options right there, as well as Pirates games, Riverhounds games, Premier League action, all the sports you can get at Mike's Beer Bar. And they have 500 different available beers available at all times, 300 of those beers being local and 80 of those different local beers being craft beers. You can get right on tap, and you can try out all the different flights they offer to combine all the different options, and you'll never run out of options, because trust me, I never do, and I'm always there. You can also try out their amazing food options, like their steak on a stone, which is a meal that you can get a steak cut of your choice delivered right on a heated stone in front of you, where you cut every piece you cut off, you press into the stone, and you choose how well you want your steak done with every single bite. It's an amazing food experience, amazing drink experience, an amazing sports experience at Mike's Beer Bar. Go to Mike's Beer Bar to get your sports fix and experience the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. This next segment is our Acrisure Fan Advantage question, where you, the readers, the listeners, get to tune into us and ask us questions for this game. You've sent a lot of mailbag questions to Brian. He's answered some of them throughout the week. And the Fan Advantage brings you closer to the team than ever, featuring exclusive answers to your burning questions from Steelers insider Brian Batko, as well as an in-depth conversation with the opponent's experts each week. That will be coming out this weekend with Irie Harris of Cleveland.com, who covers the Cleveland Browns. We'll have a great discussion there about this matchup as well. But Brian, let's get into this question here. You have a question in your mailbag from Greg Kupitz, who says, with the when you posted the notice of Cam Hayward going to injured reserve and the Steelers calling up from the practice squad wide receiver Dez Fitzpatrick, Greg Kupitz asked, does this rule out Braden Fehoko being called up, which a lot of people assumed might be the move for the Steelers? Fehoko, a run-stuffing defensive tackle who was put on the practice squad, surprisingly to some, at the end of training camp, and then was not called up after this move when Cam Hayward was going down. And this is a defensive line that's going to be featuring a lot of young guys getting more and more experience, like DeMarvin Leal, Keanu Benton, Isaiah Loudermilk. Fehoko, an NFL vet, not called up. Does that mean that he's just not going to be in this game against a team that loves to run the ball this week, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, number one, I don't necessarily think that the moves they announced Thursday rule out Fehoko or anybody else for that matter being promoted, because if you remember, in these last few years, the NFL has the new rule that you can elevate up to two practice squad players per week. for that game, and you just have to do so by, I think it's 4 p.m. the day before. So, I mean, that's still very much a possibility. It's simple. All you do is, you know, you tell Fehoko, hey, you're getting hat today, and you just make one more guy on your 53-man roster inactive for that week. It's often used for teams to withstand injuries that are, you know, week to week rather than guys on IR. So I think it's still a possibility, but I tend to think that he's not going to be in the game plan. And I'll tell you why. I think as much as Fehoko on paper is a guy who is valuable against the Browns in their run game, the Steelers cut him coming out of the preseason.
Straight up.
You know, he didn't make the active roster. They kept 7D linemen. None of them were a player who ostensibly is valuable in two games every year against the Browns, maybe two games every year against the Ravens. I know they have a new look offense, but you're also going to play a run heavy team in the Patriots. Shoot, I mean, the 49ers in week one are a team that likes to run the ball and is really good at it. So it's not as if they didn't know what was coming down the pike this season when they opted to keep Fehoko just as a practice squad guy. I think for right now, they're going to want to see what they have in all these Cam Hayward replacements. The one-to-one switch is going to be Armon Watts, who was inactive for week one. Now he will obviously, I think, get a helmet, and you know, we'll see how much he plays. I think he's kind of behind players such as Keanu Benton and Montrevious Adams. But after what went down on Sunday, I think you've got to give him a chance to see what he can do. He's an NFL caliber player, has spent 4 or 5 seasons with the Bears and Vikings. So he, you know, he can do some things against the pass. He can do some things against the run. I just don't know that it's Fehoko time yet. I think if they get gashed in this game by Nick Chubb and company, you know, everybody will have to be on notice a little bit on that D-line with Hayward out. So I get it. I get fans clamoring a little bit for Fehoko. He's a guy who's really interesting. He's got a good backstory. I wrote about him in training camp, and it just never happened for him this summer. They didn't really give him many opportunities with the starting defense or even really the second team defense for that matter. So I, you know, it's nice that he's still around. Clearly they see something in him as a specialist to be on the practice squad, but don't think he is the Nick Chubb stopper this week.
I hear the reasoning is they cut him. It was obvious that they chose a bunch of other defensive linemen over him. I just look back to what he did for the Chargers, and listen, he's not a pass rusher. He's not going to get after Deshaun Watson. He wouldn't have gotten after Brock Purdy. But the thing that he does really well is if you're blocking him one-on-one or double-teaming him, you're not moving that guy. He's too big. He's too strong. He's able to stand up against the run, and that can help free up your linebackers to make plays. And that's where I do wonder, against a team like the Browns that loves to run the football, like the Niners who love to run the football, would it be more servicing to have a guy like that play the nose while you rotate your other big guys around him? And I hear you entirely. Again, this guy got cut. They were making these calls here. So clearly they see something that other people don't, that think that Braden Fehoko should be in. And that includes myself. But
yeah, if it were me coaching the Steelers, which I promise you, you don't want that, but in this specific case, I probably would give him a chance. And actually, you know, really, I might've given him, I would have given him more of a look in these training camp practices out at the Trobe. I would have rotated him more with somebody like Montrevious Adams. I would have rotated him more with somebody like Armon Watts when he got in there. But hey, you know, they drafted Keanu Benton in the second round. They clearly want to see more out of him. And he was one of the very few bright spots in week one. You know, Larry Ogunjobi, if he gets right, you know, this is his former team. You know, if there's ever a spot that he should use his power and brute force in the middle to help control the run game, this is it. But yeah, I just don't think that they're going to go the Fehoko Avenue. Maybe I'll be proven wrong come Sunday when they, you know, are allowed to promote certain guys. But yeah, I think they want to see what they have in the other D linemen who, as you pointed out, Chris, are a little bit more versatile with what they can do as pass rushers as well.
This isn't the only thing we do for the AccraShare Fan Advantage that you can get here right from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We also will have the guest show, including Irie Harris, who covers the Cleveland Browns for Cleveland.com, breaking down Steelers-Browns this weekend. Monday Night Football. It's one of two Monday Night Football games. Remember, these Saints and the Panthers will be throwing down an hour before the Steelers kick off against the Brown at AccraShare Stadium, which all of us will be on hand for.
I'm weirdly interested in that game, Chris. Panthers-Saints. I don't know why. I mean, I guess the Bryce Young factor, and we talked a week or two ago. The Saints are like my sleeper team this year, and
their defense
is 1-0 so far.
They're 1-0. They're a team I think will be have a tough defense. Derek Carr can play protect the ball. Alvin Kamara is still on suspension. Once he's back, maybe he'll be a factor there. There could be something cooking there for the New Orleans Saints. And we thank Brian for the work with the AccraShare Fan Advantage. Remember, you can send your burning questions every week to get exclusive answers from Brian Batko and myself here from the AccraShare Fan Advantage on the North Shore Drive podcast. Tune in every Friday for that, and tune in this weekend for our show with Irie Harris from Cleveland.com. But first, want to continue before we get to the next segment here, finishing up our Friday show. We got to remind you, the show is also sponsored by Savinas Kane and Gallucci. They're mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinas Kane and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful, and that's why Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sporting events, music events, concerts, comedy, theater events near you. Anything that you can buy tickets for, Game Time most likely has killer deals for. Even if it's up to the last minute, you can get great tickets, and they have a best price guarantee that can't be beat. Download the Game Time app today right to your phone, and it allows you to book tickets even up to the last minute for events that are huge right by you. You can get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football games, including Steelers games, basketball games, baseball games, including Pirate games, concerts, comedy, theater events, anything near you, Game Time mostly can get. And the best price guarantee means that you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less on a different app, Game Time will credit you to 110% of the difference. That's the best price guarantee they offer, because they're so confident in the prices they give you. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to their website, GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko, talking Steelers-Browns here on a Friday. Now, Brian, I look back to last year, and in that regular season finale, the Steelers did hold Nick Chubb to under 80 yards, but he still averaged over 6 yards per carry in that process and was definitely a problem for the defense. But he wasn't as big of a problem. Why? Because the Steelers kept putting them behind the chains with 7 sacks on Deshaun Watson. And that may be the key, the other key we're talking about here, to neutralize what the Browns want to do in the run game. Is if the offense can start fast, get a lead, and the defense can keep sacking the quarterback, putting pressure on Deshaun Watson, making it tougher for the Browns to be able to rely on their run game throughout it. And with Jack Conklin, their starting right tackle, out, that means rookie fourth round pick DeJuan Jones, aka Big Thanos, as they call him in Cleveland, he's going to be getting his first NFL start, and he has to line up across from, you guessed it, TJ Watt, who even while
Captain America.
Exactly. Even with the Steelers stinking up the joint last week, he was being Captain America because he had 3.
Or Iron Man. Maybe he's Iron Man.
Maybe he's Iron Man. But, you know, Captain America, he brought he brought Mjolnir. He strapped up. Even when the whole army was in force, he strapped up his shield. I think TJ Watt is Captain America.
I was going to say, I'm not a superhero movie expert, and I don't want to spoil anything here, but maybe you don't want him to be Iron Man in this particular
match. Because didn't Iron Man get stabbed by Thanos? But Iron Man does kill Thanos. Yeah. Anyways, we're getting too sci-fi nerdy here. But point being, that is going to be a huge matchup the Steelers are going to want to exploit. And something else to remind people about, Alex Highsmith does pretty well against the Browns when you look back. He was giving Jedrick Wills fits. This could be an opportunity for the Steelers' defense to change the tone of the game by their edge rushers beating the Browns' offensive tackles. Do you think that is going to be the case Monday night?
I think they'll have success against the Browns' tackles. Yeah, for sure. I mean, with Watt, I mean, he's advantage against literally any tackle in the league, but especially so. I mean, you saw what he did last week against a guy who we were all praying for, Colton McKivitz. A guy who's been cut by the Niners, in and out of the lineup. He's in his first full year as the starter, and Certainly TJ Watt gave him fits, not far from his hometown on the border of Ohio and West Virginia in the Wheeling area. But now he's got a rookie on the other side of it, a fourth rounder who I could see that going either way. I could see DeJuan Jones just being absolutely not ready for a player of this caliber. However, you know, early returns on him have been pretty good. When he stepped in for Conklin, you know, apparently he held his own against the Bengals from everything I've seen and heard from Brown's land. And, you know, this is a guy who I think he fell in the draft for a lot of reasons that aren't necessarily related to on-field performance. I mean, he's 6'8", 350, but there were some questions about his football character, his love of the game, whether he's somebody you really want to invest in long term. But hey, I mean, he was a beast at Ohio State. He clamped up Nick Herbig in their matchup last year. He was a big reason why the Buckeyes just beat down the Badgers. So maybe Herbig and Watt can share some notes this week, as they always do. But yeah, that is going to be a fascinating matchup on that side, with Watt trying to, you know, I would think trying to bend around a lot against a very large man who's difficult to get around. Obviously, Watt's seen tackles, you know, small, quick ones, big, long ones, slow ones, powerful ones. So, you know, he's been there, done that. This will be a really, really intriguing matchup. And I'm very intrigued of the matchup on the other side, whether it's Miles Garrett versus Dan Moore, who've gone at it many times, or Za'Darius Smith versus, if he's healthy, Chukwuma Okorafor, and if he's not, probably Broderick Jones, who would be getting that nod at right tackle.
That is another huge matchup here. And also, it should be noted, the Browns were lining up Miles Garrett everywhere against the Bengals. Yeah. I think everyone's seen the highlight clip of now him like pretending to do crossovers and dribbling between his legs as he was.
Yeah, the guards and the centers can't really sleep at night either. So that's tricky.
It is very tricky, but Dan Moore Jr. graded out pretty poorly on PFF. He gave up 9 official pressures in that game. I feel like he wasn't as bad as that looks when you see that from PFF, because some of the pressures he got or he gave up were because Kenny Pickett kind of left the pocket a little early when he didn't need to. But still, he needed to be better. They did neutralize Nick Bosa, but he has to be better, and he has been better against Miles Garrett. We've seen them duel off before. Miles Garrett's gotten the best of him, but he's also gotten the best of Miles Garrett back. What do you see Dan Moore doing this week if he starts at left tackle?
Well, you know, we talked to him about this in the locker room actually after practice on Thursday. And, you know, he pointed out just how many, you know, he's faced Garrett, I think, 5 times. And he basically just said, look, from the first time on, every other matchup seemed not quite as bad after I had to go against him, essentially. And, you know, he said it's his elite athleticism that makes him such a handful to deal with. He did say that he thinks, you know, facing guys like Highsmith and TJ Watt in training camp does help. Now, we know that Moore doesn't really see a ton of TJ Watt in practice because he's on the other side. But, you know, I think it's difficult because in a normal Browns matchup, I would say, you know, you can give a lot of schematic help to Dan Moore rather than leave him on an island. You know, you can put chips and tight ends. I mean, we saw what Darnell Washington did helping out against Nick Bosa. But in this one, you know, this is what the Browns did this offseason, and this is why I was really banging the drum that as optimistic as people were about the Steelers, every team in this division made moves that were wise and, you know, increased their talent level. And for the Browns, not just getting Dalvin Tomlinson on the inside, but Za'Darius Smith on the other edge, I think is an upgrade over whatever Jadeveon Clowney is at this point in his career. And he clearly wasn't happy with his role in Cleveland. So, I mean, you leave, you know, if you put another guy over on Miles Garrett's side to help Dan Moore, you're leaving Za'Darius Smith too in a one-on-one matchup. So there's really only so much you can do. That's why there's a lot of belief in this Browns front from Cleveland, which I'm sure you'll get into with Irie Harris. Dan Moore's got to hold his own to some extent. And good, just like I said, good luck to DeJuan Jones. Good luck to you against Miles Garrett.
I think it's going to be a huge matchup on both sides of the ball. Which edge rushers make the biggest difference in this game might be the biggest factor as far as who wins this game. You hit the quarterback more, that could be the biggest difference.
And Kenny Pickett, too. He's got to feel that pressure from 95 a little bit better than he did against Drake Jackson from the Niners. You know, that was the guy who whipped him down, I believe, on the third play of that game. So, you know, that's part of it, too. Get those quick throws designed if you're Matt Canada and have that pocket presence if you're Kenny Pickett, because you know they're coming.
Absolutely. All huge factors here that we will continue to break down here for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette throughout the week. And the Steelers, remember, they have some more practices because it's Monday Night Football. Our people will be on hand. Read all of the work from Brian Batko, Ray Fittipato, and Jerry Dulac from the Steelers facility throughout the weekend at post-gazette.com. Check out this show, the North Shore Drive podcast, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel for all of our daily content. Remember, we got the Acrisure Fan Advantage with Irie Harris of Cleveland.com coming up on this weekend. I think it's going to be Saturday that it comes out, and you'll be able to check out my conversation with Irie about this upcoming matchup, what the Browns are looking at from their perspective. And then again, Monday morning, I'll be with Ray Fittipato. We'll be getting you ready for this. And then, of course, we'll have all the post-game coverage you need right here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Saturday when we talk to Irie Harris here on the North Shore Drive podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.